Good if it goes, listeners. What's happening? Another edition of the podcast. It's your boy Mike, aka Mikey Vick, aka your girl's favorite podcaster. Aka, I'm just playing. I ain't really mean that. I'm just bullshitting. We got a Cubs fan. He go by the name of Clue Haywood on Twitter at Clue Haywood, Haywood with an E. Anyway, he trolled Cardinals fans by playing songs. He played the Go Cubs Go song at different St. Louis bars and St. Louis area bars in the whole metropolitan St. Louis area. He played Go Cubs Go remotely from his computer in fucking Arizona from his office. And got all these Cardinal fans up in arms about it. Pretty cool story, so I'm actually going to interview him so you can check that on the blog. It's going to probably be in the extra point section and on goodifitgoes.com, so check for that. Good if it goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 8 of the Good Podcast. And I just want to give a big hearty fuck you to everybody on this podcast, because in preliminary talks, we're already discussing how bad the Lions are. You just heard from Mikey in his Minute of Mayhem. But the worst teams in the NFL. Guys, go ahead. Shane?
I don't know where else to start other than the team that hasn't won a motherfucking game, and that's the Detroit Lions. They have a horrendous coach in Jim Caldwell. They have a quarterback who has just completely regressed. I was a Stafford supporter for the last couple of years. I would get in arguments with people, say that this guy is good, and I would just constantly go to bat for him, and he's just completely regressed. And, I mean, you just can't. It's hard to find a word. The thing is, too, is like you can look at the Lions and say that they're more talented than some of these other bad teams. But with the record, what it is, and the fact that they just can't win a game. And I actually thought that they were going to give Arizona a game, you know, backs against the wall at home. Let's get a win. And I mean, they just got ran from the start. And that's
okay. Okay, let's just do this. Everybody is unanimous with the Lions are the worst team in the NFL.
No,
they will not. No. Hold on, they will not finish with the worst record. I'll say that they won't finish with the worst record.
Who said Prentice? Was that you?
Yes,
said,
I no? did.
Who's the worst team in
honestly,
the NFL?
The Houston Texans. I mean, you got J.J. Watt, and that's it. I'm sorry, that team sucks. The fucking quarterback situation is atrocious. They are garbage. The Lions are at least competed in a few
games.
They
also have DeAndre Hopkins.
But, yeah, I mean, he can play. But that team is – I'm sorry. Stafford's playing bad, but they can have one week where they turn it around and they look all right. Houston will not. Houston will be drafted in the top three this year. The Lions might be, but I don't think there's a team playing worse than Houston.
Schwab, who do you got?
It's a tough call.
No, it's fucking not. There are
Prentice made some
three really bad.
Prentice
teams.
Made some really good points about Houston. Detroit actually should have beat Seattle. Tampa lost to Houston. I'm going Houston.
You're so fucking frustrated. Like I don't know, man. Like I'm getting to the point where you're so frustrating that I'm on Ace's side of wanting to punch you in the face.
I'll take it a step further. I hope the fat fuck gets hit by a bus.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. Mike, who's the worst team in the NFL?
I mean, it's clear by record who it is, and I fucking hate the Lions, but I'm going to go a different direction, man. I'm going to say the fucking Baltimore Ravens. When you give up fucking
what?
Four, have you seen their record? Have you watched the Ravens game this year?
No, man.
Have you watched the Ravens game this year? Because they gave up over 400 yards passing to Josh McCown. Who the fuck is he passing the ball to? That's what I wanted to know. I tuned into the end of that game. I mean, their defense, they can't get off the field at the end of the game. They lose a lot of people, the key injuries. People who signed all these big contracts like Dumerville and Suggs, all them guys, they're not even on the field playing. I mean, this is probably one of the most underachieving teams I've seen. Baltimore is usually known for their defense as a franchise, and they're having one of the worst defensive years that they've had that I can remember. And I'm pretty sure statistically it says the same thing. So that's what I'm going for. Like, I mean, just a total disappointing team there. In last place in the division that they usually compete in. It's crazy seeing them like that. So that's what I'm going with, Baltimore.
Ace, did we get to you? Who do you think the worst team in the NFL is?
I want to play devil's advocate. I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints because that defense is just complete ass. Their offense is putting up points, but, man, that defense is just terrible. And, hey, my team beat them last week, so I know firsthand how bad that defense is. Our offense looks struggling against every team except for this team.
I'm changing my vote. It's the Saints. Ace is right.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, to Mike's
point. Don't agree with me, fat fuck. Now I think I'm wrong.
I totally buy what Mike said, too, because if you think about it, Baltimore's only win came against that Thursday night game a week and a half ago when Pittsburgh just – they missed those two field goals. I mean, they just completely gave that game away. Baltimore could easily be 0-5 right now.
Easily 0-5. Easily.
And you know what? Joe Flacco's a piece of shit, too. I bet on them. God.
I mean, they easy to beat 0-5, but they also could have beat Cincinnati. They also could have beat Oakland, too. I mean, there's some games they've been in that they could have won. They just not finishing.
And Detroit wins this Sunday against the Bears at home, by the way.
Aren't they favored? They're favored by what?
They're a 2.5-point favorite right now. And they are going to win that game.
No, make it your best bet so the Bears win.
I'm not going to make it my best bet. I have something else locked in.
He's not. Shane, where are you, 4-2?
Shane been doing pretty good on his best bets, though.
Yeah, I'm actually doing pretty good on my best bets, you fat fuck. So next time you want to come at me with some smart-ass answer, at least have something clever to say.
Yep, and when have we ever let facts get in the way of jokes?
You weren't trying to make a joke because you're an unfunny person. You were trying to, you know, say something that you thought you were right on, and that's why you were wrong, and you're fat.
You heard it here first, folks.
I've been drinking. Just so everybody knows that right now, the fucking Cubs are going to the NLDS. I've been drinking and other types of things.
Okay, so I just want to get to the worst team in the NFL. Obviously, I'm going to pick the Lions just because it's a disappointing. It's a huge letdown just from where we were last year. Yeah, we lost Sue and Fairley, but the defense hasn't been playing terrible, and the offense are putting them in extremely shitty situations. I mean, what? Five or six turnovers in a game. Like, if your defense is on the field and you're putting them in sudden change situations, it doesn't fucking matter what is going on. You're going to give up points. And Stafford, like Shane said, Stafford has regressed beyond the point of, I mean, I don't even recognize who this guy is. He throws checkdowns. He's becoming what Alex Smith is, but worse. And I don't know if it's the Lombardi scheme or if it's just he's that terrible and it's finally come to light. But he's playing with the same weapons and maybe a little bit more. And he's just fucking playing terrible. So I don't see... I don't have any faith in the Lions beating the Bears, and I don't. I have no, like I've complete like last week.
Like the Lions are playing bad, but man, they played Denver, Green Bay, Seattle. I mean, other than the Chiefs, who's played tougher teams, man?
Everything is so. Last week was the first time I could ever say I cut a game off. I cut the game off. I think after the first or second drive in the third quarter. And it's just like, God damn, we fucking suck. It's like Randy Quaid when the Indians were fucking terrible in Major League 2. I mean, it's just nothing good to watch right now. And I used to be a big Stafford supporter, but I'm on, like, I want Megatron to go free and be fruitful somewhere else. And I want, like, this shit has to implode. And Caldwell got to go. I'm with Shane's. I seen Shane fire like 13 people again this weekend. Caldwell is definitely on that list.
Well, I fired Caldwell 2 weeks ago when he continued to hand the ball off to have play calls for Joey fucking Bell.
We got to get you a general manager job somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? To the point, Quan, I think it was, I saw you tweeting. I think it was BK or somebody. Somebody retweeted Joe Fortuneball, I think his name is. He's He's a guy that covers betting odds in Las Vegas. And the Lions opened this game as 3-point favorites. And, you know, people were, you know, pretty surprised. And I think, you know, you were surprised. You tweeted something like, are you kidding me? There's no way that's the real line. And no, that's the real line. A lot of times, and that line right there, a lot of times the betting line will tell the story. And, you know, most people would think, oh, you know, this game's either going to be a pick'em or the Bears going to be favored. Bears came off a miracle win against a dog shit Kansas City team who has every right to be thrown in the mix as one of the worst teams in football. And, you know, the Lions haven't won. There's no way that Detroit, you know, a lot of times teams mail in a season. There's no way they're going to mail in a season, especially in game six against probably their biggest rival in the Bears. Those are two teams that hate each other. They are going to win that game, and I mean, I'm definitely going to be getting money down the Lions because it's a pretty cheap price. If you look 2 weeks ago, the Lions were 7-point favorites, and now the line is 2.5. That's a lot of value to get on Detroit against a Bears team that's way overvalued here.
You know what? I think you put more effort into studying picks than you've done in life. You sound like a professor right now.
Yeah, I mean,
I really feel enlightened.
Yeah, it's, you know, so I've been betting on sports for, what, I'm 27 now, close to 11 years, and I mean...
What's the most you brought on of one bet?
1,500. 3 years ago when Alabama was a 3.5-point favorite on the road against Florida when they had Trent Richardson and they absolutely killed him. That was my biggest win ever.
I hear you. You heard it here first. I don't know if you heard it here first, folks. Shane's going to... He's got faith in the Lions. I'm fucking giving up on him. But we've seen, you know, with the Seattle call, and then last night there was a malfunction with the clock or something where 18 seconds ran off or wasn't supposed to run off. I didn't really look into it today. But, I mean, a lot of people are complaining about the officials. And, I mean, this is every year. Schwab does it after every game in every sport. For every game, match, whatever.
For his team. Hold on. Quan, be specific there. That's for his team when they're losing. Prentice has pointed this out to Schwab multiple times on Twitter. I've seen it. It's not just a random game that he'll be watching where he'll complain about the refs. It's when one of his teams is losing or struggling.
No,
it's always the refs.
If it's a blatantly horrible call, I'll call it out too. And this week, in fairness, this week I also called out the refs when my team was winning. On the targeting call that got James Ross ejected.
I don't believe that at all. But, Schwab, do you think that refs get – I mean, refereeing is not an easy job by far. I mean, do you think that refs get a bad reputation or are they just really incompetent at their job?
It's somewhere in the middle, I think. The worst part is when they blow a call live – then they replay it, review it, and they still get it wrong. You know,
I mean, but they have to abide. They have to abide by the rules at that point too. So you can't. It's not based on the reaction that we give. I mean, if there's something that you can't review in the review, I mean, that's why it stands. Or as I think Mike Tirico said it last night, it wasn't confirmed. It just stands. I mean, there's so much lawyer type bullshit in the rule book section that you can't understand what they have to watch for. Prentice, what do you think?
I think they get a bad rap, but unfairly. I mean, like I said, a lot of times you hear people complaining about the refs, their team's losing. That's why the refs get a bad rap. Now there's games where you could be watching a really good game and like I said, they make bad calls against both sides and you're like, damn, these refs are really controlling the game and they're fucking up. And that happens. I mean, bad calls happen in sports. And it sucks when it's affecting both teams. But usually it's one-sided. Your team's losing, like Schwab. My team's losing. Oh, Michigan, we lost the national championship because that was a foul on Trey Burke and they didn't call it. No, you got beat. Like,
no, that was a clean block.
You know who's Period. Really?
Oh, that was.
You know who's really bad at, like, being the center of attention is Joey Crawford. And not to get away from the NFL, but I think Joey Crawford is a really
horrible referee.
Like, he wants to be a part of the game so much.
He is. And as but as bad as he is, he's got nothing on TV Teddy Valentine.
Oh God. Oh, yeah. Schwab, I have to back right. you up on that. Oh, yeah. Oh my God. He is the worst in college basketball. I have to back you on that.
I think I've seen games where you got TV Teddy as an official and Dan Dockich on commentary, and I just think to myself, what have I done to deserve this?
Worship the devil?
All right. Well, my answer to this question is, first of all, it's if they get a bad – it's never going to change. Okay? It's the public perception of officiating in professional sports will never change. And, you know, the most popular sport in America is the NFL. And every Sunday we all watch these games, and I don't think there's anything more frustrating than watching a game and your team is on defense and it's 3rd and 10 and there's an incomplete pass. And I'm at the point where I can't celebrate forcing a punt until I see if there's going to be an illegal contact or a holding penalty. It's true. Like, this goes for every fan of every team. That's the worst call in the NFL right now is the illegal contact and the holding. Now, you can look at it as okay, well, this is what the league's telling the officials to do, and you know they're just doing what they tell them, which is a problem to begin with. Or you can look at it as, you know, these guys are just too flag happy.
Well,
and
you could literally I don't know who said it, but there's a shortage of skilled offensive linemen in the NFL, and you could literally call holding on every play, and that's just the nature of the rule. Like, and the linemen, like, they're not that good, and with the way that the blitzes are being drawn up and DNs outside, I mean, just defense is that once you get the ball in the air, you're at a horrible disadvantage. But before that, you have all the advantage in the world. So it's kind of 50-50. Like, I mean, once the ball is in the air, cornerback basically can't touch you in any way, shape, or form. Barely can fucking look at you if you're defending. But, I mean, you got DNs that are fucking freaks running 4-3s and coming off the edge. Like, I mean, it's kind of hard both ways. Would you agree, Prentice?
Yeah, I would agree, man. It's like I said, NFL has become an offensive game, and they want to see points and they want to see touchdowns. And you can't have guys like Richard Sherman out here grabbing you and holding you and locking you down all game, and the final score is 13-7. Nobody wants to see 13-7 for 16 weeks. People want to see points. And like I said, you got these freaking nature defensive linemen who are – you know, no guy 6'6", 275 pounds should be running a 4.5 40. That's inhuman. That should not be happening, and it's popping up too much. And these big guys, they got to get down in a 3-point stance. Remember back in the day, it was all 3-point stances. Now guys are standing up and it's in a 2-point stance, and they have to do that to even give themselves a chance to block some of these guys. And that's then, like I said, you get some of these horrible penalties, and you see holding calls constantly, you know, in the defensive backfield and on the offensive line.
All right. Well, you know, that's just something that I just don't think, like you said, pretty much if your team's losing, you're going to blame the ref instead of looking at the glaring issues either on the offensive line or the ineptitude of your quarterback. Fuck you, Matthew Stafford. But with that, we'll get to Shane's best bets this week. Shane, who you got for us?
All right, well, I actually have two this week, and I'm going to give you one college and one NFL. And the college one might catch some of you by surprise based on the way I've been tweeting about these two teams. I'm going to go to the Michigan State-Michigan game, which is, you know, some could argue it's the game of the weekend. The line is 7.5. Michigan is a 7.5-point favorite, and as kind of as it pains me to do this because I'd like to see Michigan win the game, I'm taking the 7.5 with Michigan State. 2 weeks ago, right before the Michigan State-Purdue game, Michigan State was a 6-point favorite in this game. In Vegas and some other, you know, offshore sites, you can bet these look-ahead lines. Now, based on public perception of these two teams, it's, you know, Michigan State is, you know, they've looked bad in their last two games against dog shit teams, and Michigan's just, I mean, that defense is nasty, and they've just looked like a really good team. I just think this is too many points for a rivalry game, and I look at the quarterback position. Cook is a much better quarterback than Rudock. Now, obviously, Michigan has the coaching edge, and they probably have a better defense as it sits right now, but the quarterbacks are really going to come into play here. And I just think 7.5 points in a game like this is just too much. I can't see this game being decided by more than 3 or 4 points either way. So I'm going to grab the 7.5 with Michigan State. I'm going to fire a nice size bet on that because I just, this line is just, is based off of, you know, public perception and all the values on Michigan State here. And then hey, I'm going to go to the NFL.
Before you continue,
go ahead. Sure.
I want to make a point on that.
Please.
Every team in college football except for two has covered a spread this year, and Michigan State is one of them. They have not covered a single spread this season, so gotta keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, well, okay, you can say that as well. Now they were right, exactly. Against Purdue, they were like a 21.5 point favorite. Against Rutgers. I don't even know what the line was. I had no action on that game, but I'm sure I know they were double-digit favorites. And against Oregon, they closed like 4, 4.5. And would they win by a field goal or something? I just think Michigan State now is a dog in this game. I don't think Rudock's ready for this game. Now, Harbaugh's going to do the best he can to, you know, limit the opportunities for him to make mistakes. But the experience that Michigan State has in this game, I just look at that 7.5 and I say, that's just not right. And then I'm going to go to the NFL, and I'm going to give you somewhat of a similar situation. Miami at Tennessee. Miami is a 3-point underdog to Tennessee. Now, we know the turmoil with Miami's had. You know, they got embarrassed in London. They lost bad to Buffalo. Philbin's gone. They were on a bye last week. You know, it's kind of a messy situation. They're a 3-point underdog to Tennessee. That just doesn't make any sense to me. And I look at it as you look at it, especially in professional sports, a lot of times when a team will fire a coach, it has a way of, you know, that new coach really coming in and lighting a fire under these guys. And that Miami team, we all liked them before the year. There's still a lot of talent there. And Tennessee is not good. Buffalo was awful against them this week. Buffalo had no business winning that game, and Tennessee couldn't beat them. And I just think you're going to make Tennessee a 3-point favorite in this game just because of the turmoil that Miami's had. I'm not buying that at all. Miami's going to win this game by at least a touchdown. If you guys can bet, I would definitely grab the 3 on Miami now and get some money line, because I think that the sharp bettors are going to get down on Miami come closer to game time. That line will probably close around 1.5, maybe 2.
And there you have it, folks. Shane's best bets of the week. Shane, your record's 4-2 now, right?
Correct.
You're doubling up this week. Let's see if we can get you to 6-2, man.
Let's do it.
And
I feel really good about the both of those, by the way.
Speaking of the Michigan State game, I know you guys are going to get pissed off here, but Schwab.
I'm not.
Schwab, is Michigan as serious as you said they would be?
No, they're not. They're more serious than I said they would be.
Ooh.
Hit his motherfucker, man.
No.
Let's hear what he's got.
No. I said 9-3 in the preview blog that I wrote. If they win this game, we're talking playoff hopes.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
That's not even a question. Nobody can deny that, no. Guys. We can't deny that.
This is – I mean, they might end up 9-3 at the end of the season. But it's going to be a much better team than I could have even thought it would be. Right. And to Shane's point about Rudock not being ready for this game, he looked awfully good against Northwestern. You know, he's not the Heisman candidate or anything, but he did what he needed to do, took care of the ball, made good decisions. If that's the guy Michigan's got, they can absolutely make the playoff.
Mike, you seem opposed to Schwab's statements on this. What do you think about the Wolverines as an Ohio State?
Nah, I ain't opposed to what he said. I'm just opposed to talking about Michigan. Fuck them. But
You got to let that Ohio State bias go. We're not going to trash the Bulls on
here,
man.
Oh, okay, right. Just like you don't trash the Bears. Okay. And let's wait for the Cubs to lose.
And anybody who loves them.
I'm a Cubs fan, but I bet y'all find a way to get that shit to me, too. But, nah.
Fuck the Cubs and anybody who loves them.
Michigan definitely a much better team than I thought they would be. I thought they was going to, you know, need a couple more years. Rudolph got his feet wet now. He balling. I think he balling. And I mean, like y'all was talking about last week, that Utah loss looks better and better. You know what I'm saying? Every week.
That's a great point. That's
so
a great point.
That helps them out. And when y'all say playoff hosts, I'm like, hell no. Nah. But then I thought about like, shit, well, Utah loss is, you know, I hate the term good loss, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So they definitely look like a much better team.
That's true.
Pretty much all of us thought that they would be.
Well,
so, I mean, I'm here for it.
Schwab, to your point about winning this is obviously for playoff hopes. This is a must win, but I still believe they will have to run the table to get in the playoff because they're not going to take two teams from the Big Ten. No. And you know, as bad as Ohio State looked, I think we look at the only game on Ohio State's schedule at this point that they have a shot to really lose now is Michigan. So
we'll give them a game, I think.
Maybe, but Michigan runs the table. They're in because that Utah loss, like Mike just brought up, that's real. Like that does not – you lost at Michigan – or I'm sorry, at Utah. That is not a bad loss at all.
Well, no, Ohio State got in last year losing to Virginia Tech. You know, Utah, you can make a case for them. For my money, they're the best team in the country right now.
But they will not take a two-loss Michigan team to the playoffs, so they have to run the table.
Well, you can't compare that.
I don't know about that.
Michigan losing to Utah loss to Ohio State losing to Virginia Tech either. Because they were both early in the season, but then you got to remember what kind of run Ohio State went on at the end of the year too, and who they did it with. Actually, Michigan would be in better shape with the.
Oh, I don't think anybody's arguing that. If Michigan runs the table, they're in. That's not even a question.
Are you guys saying that
Michigan can beat Ohio State?
Yes.
I mean, based off of what we've seen, yes. I mean, I still don't think that they will. But I mean, I certainly have a much different feel on it than I did when we had our first show. I mean,
I agree with that, but maybe it's just a bias in me. I don't see no way. I mean, it's going to be a closer game than I thought it would be, but I don't know. I mean, is Michigan run defense that great? Like, I don't know.
I mean, like you said, the only thing we can look at is the games that they played so far. And right. we saw Michigan dominate Maryland. Like, I don't think Maryland had a total of 150 yards total offense.
No, Maryland had 105. They didn't dominate Maryland.
Thanks for your correction, Schwab. They had 105 yards of total offense. And, I mean, how many points did Maryland have on Ohio State? Like, they were moving the ball.
It was 49-28.
And, guys... another two.
Yeah, but in a game like that, you can't let Michigan hang around in the first half and say, hey, well, we can spot you 28 points and we'll just turn it up when we want to. Like,
that's
good team.
Like
good team, you can't
week.
Do that,
it's
man.
Like y'all said last week, it's lowering yourself to the opponent, and I feel like that's what they've been doing.
I want to make two quick points. The Prentice disagreed with me saying that he doesn't think a two-loss Michigan team could get into the playoff. The one thing that you might have going for you there is that there is no clear-cut, even top four right now with great resumes.
Exactly. Because if Michigan has two losses against number one Ohio State and number two Utah, and they're both on the road, and they've handled every game throughout, but it's going to take some dominoes to fall. Baylor's going to have to lose.
There's going to have exactly. And see, look, everybody had Alabama left for dead after they lost Ole Miss. If Alabama beats A&M this weekend, their only real tough game before the SEC championship game left is at home against LSU, a game that they're favored in both of those games. I think Alabama's making the playoff. And the one other point
that's how ESPN do Alabama. You know, I'm sorry, but they get a little favoritism.
The one other point I wanted to make, Michigan coming into the year was 250-1 to win it all. They are at the updated odds. They are the fourth favorite right now at 9-1. I can't remember, and I'm sure this has changed, but off the top of my head, I can't remember a jump in line that big in what? What's it been? 5 weeks? 6 weeks? Six. I can't ever remember seeing that in 6 weeks.
And to be clear, too, if they end up 10-2 and don't make the playoff, first of all, there's a very good chance they end up in the Rose Bowl. There is nobody in the Michigan fan base that would not take that in this first season.
But Prentice, he's right. He's right. In Harbaugh's first season, these aren't even his guys. If they go, if they lose two games and then go to the Rose Bowl, oh my God, that's huge for Michigan.
I mean, that's true, but this is Jim Harbaugh. These expectations over the past 4 weeks have exceeded anything that he thought. Like,
look at what he inherited.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that, but look what he has done in the past 3 weeks. Like Michigan fans want more. They want to win Saturday.
I mean,
Saturday is going to be a spectacle. Like,
sure.
That's like a fucking exaggeration of what people want. I mean, nobody's gonna like.
And still, the expectations can change throughout a season.
Yeah, expectations. This is his first year inheriting a complete
you're
mess.
Talking, you're There's talking still like you guys like, said.
Come on, hold on. You're a Michigan fan. You know goddamn well the way y'all played over the past few weeks. Your expectations of this team have changed. You are talking playoffs.
And that's a very
you
good point.
We are talking maybe making the playoffs.
Point.
That's an outside
but, yeah,
chance.
I think you're both not, right, to be honest.
That's where we'll end it. I mean, basically, you guys are saying that Michigan has a legit shot at least the playoffs, maybe national title, but we'll see. We'll get more insight, and we might even get a Michigan blog from somebody else outside of Schwab. Schwab, hit us with the best segment on this show. Hit us with the Michigan Minute.
This past Saturday, Michigan improved to 5-1 with a 38-0 win over Northwestern. This was Michigan's third straight shutout, the first time that's happened since 1980. Not only is the defense preventing opponents from getting points, they're preventing opponents from getting anywhere near points. Northwestern had one long field goal attempt, and that was it. Meanwhile, the defense scored a touchdown of their own on a pick six by Jordan Lewis, who's making a great case for himself as the best corner in the country. The offense was very good in this one as well. Rudock had his best game as a Wolverine. The return of Davion Smith helped the ground game greatly, and Derek Smith was hitting holes better than he ever had. Michigan even got a long run from fullback Joe Carriage. Everyone pretty much expected that it would take a little while for Jim Harbaugh to rebuild Michigan, but if the Wolverines beat Michigan State Saturday, it may be time to start talking about playoff chances. Yes, already. A full recap of Northwestern's game, including player grades and a position-by-position breakdown, is up right now at goodifitgoes.com. Sincerely yours in football, I'm Kevin Schrader, and this has been your Michigan Minute. Go Blue!
We're 6 weeks in. What is your updated Heisman watch? I really between Elliott and Fournette, those are really the two top guys for me. Just because Fournette playing out of his mind.
Don't forget my boy now. Don't forget my boy.
Add something like since it's my turn to talk. You guys know I'm not a big college football fan. I watch some games here and there, but I gotta say I'm really intrigued by this Fournette guy. He has me watching LSU games just because I want to see this guy play. This guy is a stud.
And Prentice, who am I forgetting about?
My boy Dalvin Cook at Florida State. Don't you dare forget about him. Don't you dare forget about Dalvin Cook.
It was three weeks ago. When he ran, he gave somebody the fucking sickest truck stick I've ever seen in my life.
And it also helps when you get to run against dog shit ACC defenses. But carry on.
Shut up.
Shane, who's on your updated Heisman?
It's as of right now, it's Fournette, and it's not even remotely close. I mean, what this guy's doing. I mean, you've heard everybody's tweet. Everybody tweets it themselves. Everybody retweets it. This is the best college back we've seen since Adrian Peterson. And I can't disagree. I mean, he is an absolute game changer. And they have their quarterback position is very iffy right now, but they're able to hide that by how good this guy is. And he's the runaway Heisman Trophy winner. Now, I want to give you a name that we all kind of threw out at the beginning of the year. Then he had first couple weeks was Boykin from TCU. Yeah. They – that game-winning drive he put together against Texas Tech 2 weeks ago, that miracle, and they were down 18 at half at Kansas State, and they came back to win. Keep that name in mind. If there's a number two that has a chance to take it from Fournette, I think it is Boykin.
It's a good call. He gonna have his chance at the end of the year when they go against Baylor. That's gonna be a
oh, I cannot wait for that game,
Mike. Who do you have as an updated Heisman list?
Fournette number one is clear. Anybody with a brain and Shane will say knows that. But Boykin, that's my boy down there. He doing his thing down there. Seeing them against Baylor is gonna be nice. He making that receiver Doxson look really good over there though. From TCU.
That's the best receiver. That is the best receiver in college football.
Wait a minute now.
Look, all I'm saying is I ain't about to start nothing else, but he's making him look real good over there. But Doxson making him they play real good together. I love seeing them too. They one of my favorite tandems in college ball. So yeah, after that
I'm with you, Mike.
Maybe Russell from Baylor, he pretty good too. And Dalvin Cook, you can't ignore him, even though he playing vaunted defenses like the mighty Miami Hurricanes and guys like that. So, but those four. But yeah, it's Fournette's race to lose. He one of the best backs I've seen. Elliott, get him some more touches, and then maybe he can move up the list a little bit more. Fuck you, Jeremy Johnson, for making me look like a dumbass in the middle of the year. He probably selling food stamps on Auburn's campus or some shit right now. So that's all I got.
He's selling used car insurance.
So do you guys think Fournette should sit out next year?
No, man. No. He should take out the biggest insurance policy he can take out.
Prentice took the words out of my mouth. I mean, if he said you know what, guys? I'm sitting out next year. I wouldn't blame him for at all. I mean, I would fully support that decision. I would agree. But there's other options here. You know what I mean? Like Prentice just said, take out the insurance policy and, you know, play your one more year and then go get paid, kid.
I would take out the insurance policy just because you know there's going to be at least a few NFL GMs thinking, okay, this kid hasn't played football in a year. I mean, he's the clear-cut Heisman winner this year. Number two, I would say Boykin, and then third, I'm actually going to go Derrick Henry. But still, he's got to play.
I mean, I'm sick for – we all saw what happened to Nick Chubb this week, and it's just sick to see a kid like that go down.
That's unfortunate.
I mean, think of his future now. How many NFL – I mean, he's not Todd Gurley. So, you know, you can look at it like what Todd Gurley did. And, you know, he still got drafted 10th, but Gurley had a much better resume. Chubb was good last year, but he really just came onto the scene this year, and he was really opening up people's eyes. And now, you know, it's just taken away from him just like that. And that's going to cost him a lot of money. He won't get drafted in the first round.
He's still got 2 years to go out there. I mean, he'll come back next year, he'll play, and then hopefully he'll be smart enough to play his senior year. And he can, I mean, he's got plenty of time to prove himself.
It's never really a guarantee with running backs in the first round anyway.
Yeah, but he has first round ability. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but there's no doubt Fournette's a top 10. There's no.
Sure. But
it's been a while. But I think Fournette, guys, I could be way wrong here, but depending on who else is there, I won't be surprised if Fournette. I mean, who's the last top overall running back taken? Richardson was what, third or fourth? I don't see any way Fournette gets out of the top five.
Probably not, but
barring some huge injury.
No, he's the exception, not the rule, though. This is a passing game, and unless you are a dynamic talent like Leonard Fournette, who unfortunately Michigan missed on recruiting, thank you, Mr. Hoke, you're not going to be top 5-10. I mean, Gurley, I thought St. Louis reached on him a bit, but
I'm not
thinking I was wrong.
I agree with that.
It's a passing game. I didn't think this guy was going to be Adrian Peterson or nothing.
When you think like that, that's how it comes out. If you watch Todd Gurley in college, he was a. But if he don't get injured, he's top 10 easily. They're like, there's no debate to it. So I mean,
I thought he was definitely the best running back in
the
draft.
He was the best. He was
I'm
the best
saying,
before the.
Yeah, you're not taking running backs in the top 10 anymore just because there's so many more important positions in the game.
Right, and obviously Gurley looks great through these two games, but I kind of agreed at the time of the draft. I was kind of confused why I didn't think it was a great pick for St. Louis because I'm like, I looked at it, I'm like, wait a minute. They just had Trey Mason now going into his second year. And obviously, I'm definitely changing my tune on that. I mean, they're looking like a great pick, but who knows how long he'll last. It's a running back in the NFL, not you know
right.
what I mean.
And then
who knows?
A short shelf life too.
Right.
Steve Sarkisian, he got canned, and we saw today that Spurrier retired. What do you? First, let's get to Sarkisian. What do you guys make of that?
Go ahead, Ace. Why don't you lead us?
I think that's crazy, man. The dude is showing up drunk to actual games. I heard he was drunk at the ASU game, man. Like, what the fuck
man,
is that, man?
You do what you want when you popping.
Yeah, I have some strong opinions on this, and but if, go ahead, Ace. If you got more points, go for it. Well, first of all, you know, it's. And I know, you know, this isn't the cool thing to do on Twitter because, you know, everybody's got to be a comedian, but addictions are very, very serious. And, you know, when you obviously, when you're a coach like this and you're showing up to games and practices and meetings drunk, you have a serious problem that is bigger than football. It's bigger than life and it needs to be, you know, taken care of. I have a big problem with the way USC handled this. And my issue is it's become clear that Hayden released this information to the media and to the public right before firing the guy. And I have a big issue with the way that was handled. I mean, I'm not defending Hayden. I'm not saying that he should be able to keep his job. Obviously, he's in rehab already, and I totally get it. I'm not saying that you can employ somebody like this. I have a problem with the way it went down. You have a guy that obviously has a serious problem here. This isn't something that just happened once or twice. This is a guy that has a real problem, and he needs professional help. Now, Hayden trying to save himself some face so he doesn't look bad because he's had a rough couple years here, leaks it to the media, and not just leaks the fact that he has an issue, leaks all this inside information about the ASU game, about what happened in practices. I mean, there are specific times that the media knew all about that is leaked from the inside. And that's where I have a big problem. I mean, you know, think of it as anybody else. If any of us had this and our employer, Schwab, you're not employed, are you? Anyway, if this happened to any of us and our employer just went leaking it to other people, I mean, you'd have a big fucking problem with that. Sarkisian will never coach again. I mean, he'll never have a head coaching job again. Now, that's not the most important thing here, but, you know, a man's reputation's at stake. And I'm, not defending him, but this is obviously somebody that needs professional help. And the way USC handled it, in my opinion, it was an absolute disgrace. Somebody else go give your opinion.
Yeah, man. The bad thing about it is he a grown-ass man. And he has a problem he needs to go get taken care of, but they knew about this during the summertime when they had that banquet and he got up there and he was drunk and he was talking shit and he had to apologize to the boosters and the players made him do up downs and all this shit because they felt like if he shouldn't be able to get away with shit they couldn't get away with. And they knew right then and there he had a problem and they did nothing about it. They let him go on with his day, let him continue coaching. They didn't suspend him. They didn't discipline him. They didn't do jack shit. And then this comes out and it's really not a surprise. It sucks that Hayden is the same guy that fired Kiffin on the fucking bus and the man had to get off the bus and get his own ride home. Like, Hayden is a joke. I never liked the guy. Fuck him. Whatever, but Sarkisian, he has a problem. I hope he can get himself right. But yeah, like you're right, he'll never coach. He'll never be a college football head coach again. Like that's done. But in a way, like I said, he done it to himself, and we saw the problem early, and they did nothing about it.
And there you have it, our two resident college football specialist.
Shane, I actually agree with you 100% because I'm a guy who has dealt with alcohol addiction route for route, like since high school, actually.
And you're still an alcoholic. How have you dealt with it?
No, I'm actually not as bad as I was last year.
Nigga, you're still, you're not supposed to drink once you get past it.
Drug half-breed.
It's a lot. No, it's a lot better than it was. Like before, hey, I was getting drunk every day.
Do we need it?
To the point where, it, like, affect my real life job as it did the USC coach. But
do we need to have an intervention right now?
You have an intervention with my dick, bitch.
Pause.
Yeah. No. And this guy, not only is his career done with, but I mean, this guy's reputation is just it's just shattered. I mean, you know, I feel bad for his family. I mean, that's another thing. Like, think about it. These people have families, you know what I mean? And to see, like, this shit, like, that Inside USC account was tweeting the other day, just these stories, like, man, like, you know, I got to think that there was a better way to keep this more in-house while still firing him.
He didn't want to keep – the bad thing about it is they're saying there's going to be more stories to come out.
Like, I'm sure there's – this is just the beginning.
Right, and that's why, like you said, Hayden wanted to save face, wanted to get it out there quick, like, this guy has a problem, we have to fire him. No, he's probably fired for every game he coached in. I mean, he was probably drunk every game he coached fucking in, lit. And they knew about it, and they didn't do shit
it's
about
fucking
it.
Fucking lit.
Yeah, and I bet against him against Stanford, and I'm not joking, guys. In the second half, I was wondering, the play calling just made no sense. Why do they continue to run the ball when they've had success through the air? So that's another – that's a new way for me to lose a bet because the motherfucking coach is blasted on the sideline. Yeah, that's
– But this week, right now, you know, I'm feeling kind of down. The devil got me down. I just left church. I want to know, Prentice, this week, who dropped the church's money?
All right, guys, bow your head and close your eyes real quick. And repeat after me, thou shall not drop the church's money.
Thou shall not drop the church's money. Praise God.
Praise God and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to sit here and we're going to say a prayer for Kirk Cousins with the Washington Redskins, the quarterback. Understand the guy's not working much. He's not working with much. His team's not very good. He's not very good. He led his team to overtime versus the Atlanta Falcons. Had an opportunity to win that ball game. A team that you guys consider very good, that is undefeated. And as they were driving the ball, Kirk Cousins expectedly threw a horrible pick six in church to cost his team the game. Now, we're going to pass this collection plate around and we're going to take care of him and his family. And we're going to make sure everything's all right over there in that Cousins household. And hopefully he gets some uplift, he gets some prayers, and we can get him back in church sometime later next week. Thank you.
And we got to say a prayer on the sick and shut-in list for Robert Griffin
III. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Robert, we're praying for you, sir.
Amen.
Kids, I just want to say one thing. There's a breaking news I just saw on the timeline. Lamar Odom is fighting for his life right now. He was found unconscious.
Jesus. Well, I mean.
Well, that's another one we saw coming. I mean.
And that's a shitty segue to the NBA. But thanks, fucking Debbie Downer. Way to make this podcast really sad. All right, on to the NBA. On to the NBA. Mike, you got some really good blogs out this week. Your top five small forwards, top five point guards, everything that you've done the past week on goodifitgoes.com. Early, we're in the preseason still, but early MVP candidates for this year. Ace, I'm pretty sure I know who you're going with, but enlighten the people.
Believe it or not, I'm actually not going to go with Curry. I'm going to go with Durant. I think he's going to come back strong this year. I think he really has something to prove.
What'd you say? What's his Canadian name?
Durant.
How's about... Hey, fuck you, buddy.
What are you talking about there, Ace?
What are you talking about?
Okay, enough with the jokes, but okay, Katie.
And by the way, happy Thanksgiving yesterday because you people celebrated in October.
He got mad.
I seen that yesterday. I was dying.
Yeah.
All right, enough with the jokes, guys.
Hold on, hold on. Let's add a quick something here. All right, everybody give your pick for MVP and then give a dark horse.
I got I'm gonna go with Shane.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new host of the Good Podcast is Shane. Ace, who are you? You said you're picking Durant.
Who's
Durant.
Your dark horse, Ace?
Anthony Davis.
That's a good pick. Prentice, what do you think?
MVP, I'm gonna go James Harden. I think everybody gonna pay attention this year. He should have got it last year, honestly. But I'm gonna go James Harden. And
are you believing the hype that he's giving himself?
No, the hype is real. That boy can hoop. Like there's no doubt about it.
Well, he's saying he's the best player. He's saying he's the best player.
I'm on record. I am not a James Harden fan. I'm on record. I'm just not a fan of him.
You're crazy.
Who's your dark horse, Prentice?
Dark horse, Russell Westbrook. Ooh. My boy Russ. If he play like he finished last year with KD back, it's gonna be ugly.
Don't forget KD and Serge Ibaka back. It's KD and Ibaka.
Mike, who you got?
MVP, I'm going James Harden. I feel like he should have won it all the way up until the last couple weeks. Steph Curry is clearly the best player on the best team. And then my dark horse would be Steph Curry repeating. Because dude, he's not going to slow up. Like
it's hard to repeat as MVP, so
Steve Nash did it. And
he didn't deserve at least one of them. I'm sorry.
I agree.
#white privilege.
That's true. And shit. Steph Curry, the next closest thing to white, because he's a light skinned motherfucker. So he damn near right there.
Don't start this.
Real talk though. That's why I got my dark horse. I feel like Steph can repeat. He ain't gonna do nothing but get better, and they team ain't doing nothing but getting better. They ain't getting no worse. I don't see why they don't contend. You know, in the West, coming in, they're the best team. I feel still. So I don't see no reason why he won't be in the running for it again.
Schwab, I would like to hear your take on it.
If you say Derrick Rose, I swear to God, I'm coming I will beat the shit out of you.
Jimmy Butler is the favorite.
Jimmy Butler's the dark horse and the favorite.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you guys. Say James Harden. As a dark horse, though, I am gonna say Jimmy Butler. It's a dark horse. What?
Hey, it's like Mike's dark horse.
You talking about my dark horse that came in third Shane. And voted? Oh, okay. Shut the fuck up, idiot.
Yeah. Oh man. Why everybody so mad tonight? You niggas can't take a joke?
Alright, well, Shane, I mean, this question, there's only probably... four or five guys that realistically will actually win it. I'm gonna go LeBron, but if I have, I'm gonna give you two dark horses, and it would be really hard for them to actually win. I'm just gonna give you two guys that are gonna who I think are gonna have monster years that are gonna finish in probably between second and fourth in voting. I'm gonna start with Blake Griffin, and then I'm going to give you a real dark horse here. I'm going to go with the best point guard in the Eastern Conference, John Wall.
Andrew, why are you saying Wall?
His game just continues to get better. Some of these guys, not really regress, but they kind of just, they stay are who they are. Wall just gets better every year. Mm-hmm. And the missing piece in Wall's game, which he improved dramatically last year, is his jump shooting. And, I mean – I absolutely love his game. And I think that's, Washington's, top five team in the East. And, if they can stay healthy, they're right there. They're right there behind Cleveland. And I'm just, that's just a guy that I think who I firmly believe is the best point guard in the East. And I think he's going to get some MVP votes this year.
I think your Griffin pick was pretty on point. He got so much better in the playoffs last year. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's finally that's his team. Like, you know, Paul's still obviously a top point, one of the top point guards, but it's Blake Griffin's team now. Moments. And I don't know if I like the moves that they made. I mean, Doc Rivers,
that team is like, feel like it's too much.
Too much. Let's go ball on the streets of New York and a pickup game. Lance Stevenson, Paul Pierce. Don't like the Lance Stevenson move. I don't know if I don't know about their moves. But I mean, it can't be worse than the bench that they had last year. Their bench last year was laughably bad. And Doc Rivers is one of the worst GM. He's done one of the worst jobs as GM. The fact that he could not put around a team with the big three that they have it's embarrassing. And I mean, that team with those three and at least a competent bench should be in contention for a title every year.
Speaking of which, I want to get your guys' opinion on the Thunder with Billy Donovan, how much they are going to be better than they were with Scott Brooke.
I'll go first, just real quick. I think this is a scary thing. People kind of look at it as Donovan and Hoiberg and some of these guys, and Hoiberg, who I'm a huge fan of, they look at it as, I know he wasn't a college coach, but the job that Steve Kerr did last year, overtaking a really good team and going and winning it, I think, you know, people are kind of getting this false hope that, oh, this guy, Hoiberg, Donovan, he's the next Steve Kerr. I think you need to slow down on that. Donovan, I am not sold on. Hoiberg, I'm sold on. Donovan, I need to wait and see. I don't know. I mean, he can't be any worse than that moron Scott Brooks, but I need to wait and see on Donovan.
Donovan can coach, bro. Like, and he got two of the top five ball players on his roster. It ain't much he got to do. As long as them guys stay healthy, he got to, like I said, Donovan can coach. You've seen that at Florida. And like I said, with Russ and KD.
What happened in his last NBA run?
He took the job and he quit it. He took Orlando. He said, fuck Orlando, I'm going back to college. Just had a second change of heart.
It lasted, what, like a week or something like that? Not even?
It was literally an NBA run. Yeah, it was literally an NBA run. He ran the fuck away from the NBA. So, but I think Donovan gonna fit in well. It's just all about that buy-in, man. If Russ buys in, cause I think KD will pretty much adapt to it because he only got another year there, and then he get to pick wherever the hell he want to play. But I think if Russ and KD go ahead and buy in, they'll contend in the West, no problem. I think Donovan's going to do pretty good on the sidelines.
Yeah, that guy can coach. So, yeah. I mean, like I said, if you even look at Brad Stevens in Boston, I mean, the great job he's done with that shitty-ass team, like, Jesus Christ. I think his first year there, he didn't lose a back-to-back game the entire season. Considering him being a rookie coach out of college with that terrible team, he done a phenomenal job, and he did a great job last year getting them in the playoffs. And he can
guys. Brad Stevens might be, I could be jumping the gun here, but he might be the second best coach in the NBA behind Greg Popovich. I'm telling you,
he can coach.
I
was legitimately surprised he was as good as he was.
That boy good, no homo. That boy good though.
Well, I wasn't legitimately surprised because I mean, what he did at Butler was amazing.
Yeah, you watch a lot of college basketball, so you weren't really surprised to see the job that he's done.
Which I'm a big Rondo fan, but once they got rid of him, who was pretty much going to be the guy that didn't buy in, and this is the same thing I feel, same way I feel about Donovan. Once he got them guys to buy in over there in Boston and shit. They got to the playoffs, and I mean they overachieved since he's been there, and they're not going to do nothing but get better. So I mean, believing in somebody like Brad Stevens and comparing that to Billy Donovan, that's a pretty good comparison. Donovan's won at Florida. I mean, when he had the talent, when he didn't have the talent, you know, he still got some pretty good guys in. I think like probably the last guy he got that's playing pretty good ball in the NBA now is Parsons. You know, he coaches guys up.
Bradley Beal.
Oh yeah, Beal too. How could I forget? You know, he coaches guys up. I mean, so he produces pros. He plays with pro level players. So it's gonna be exciting to see what he does. And I mean, he has a ready made team in Oklahoma. So.
Yeah, but college and pro aren't the same things. It's not like you know,
nobody.
Oh, he's a good college coach.
That.
He'll automatically.
Nobody
get
said
pro.
That. Anyway.
So I mean,
nobody said that one time.
That's absolutely true.
Well, nobody said that one time.
Nobody on this podcast said that, but a lot of people do feel that way. A lot of people think that just because somebody was a good college coach that they'll jump into the NBA and be good, or even quite the opposite, they'll be bad. I mean, a lot of college coaching, too, is recruiting. Bill Self is a horrendous game coach. He's proven that time and time again. But he's an outstanding recruiter. He's as good a recruiter as there is in the country. So, I mean, you don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shane is obviously drunk because he's defended every point that Schwab has made this podcast. So, well, this is another one for the history books.
I mean, the fat fuck is an idiot, but he's not a moron. You know what I'm saying? Like, he says, he think about that for a second. He says stupid.
Hold on, we got to differentiate the two. What's an idiot and what's a moron?
A moron is somebody that just doesn't have a motherfucking clue. Like Reggie or that Ric Flair guy or, you know, Smooth Orator or some of those fucking morons. Schwab could talk sports around those.
So Schwab has
Schwab could talk sports around those guys any day of the motherfucking week. An idiot is somebody that just says stupid things randomly, and that's Schwab. But Schwab's not a moron. He's a fucking idiot, but he's not a moron.
Schwab. Well, I mean, I think, Kevin, that's the best compliment that you'll ever receive. As we move progressively towards the NBA season, we'll get more into it. We're gonna finish up here tonight. Thank you for listening to episode 8. Still doesn't exist. Check out Mikey's blogs on goodifitgoes.com. Top 5 small forwards this week. Check out Shake and Bake, the Blackhawks weekly recap from Kevin. We'll probably get something soon from one of the other contributors to the site. We got something from Ace coming up. Maybe Prentice if he ever stops slinging paint. And we'll see you next week on the Good Podcast.